Yo, what's going on, guys? Back on the Future Leaders podcast. And today we have a very special guest, probably a master in consulting on closing high ticket clients and digital marketing, social media marketing, and how to advertise big companies that all of you have probably heard of. Mike Metzger, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So yeah, let's start off with what it is that you and your company mainly do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really do two things. My main business is my digital marketing agency called RVA Social. We work with very large national brands, but we also work with small businesses. So one day we could be working on campaigns for Dairy Queen and Church's Chicken. And the next day we might be working for a local dentist or doctor. So we spend anywhere from 10 to 12 hours a day, either building websites, doing search engine marketing, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, YouTube ads, all that fun stuff.
Awesome. And how do you close these clients? You go up to them and like go into their business and be like, hey, I want to advertise you, or do you make them come to you using like any type of, what do you do?
Yeah. So it would be the latter. So we don't, you know, we don't chase after anybody. We don't really do any cold calling. We don't pop into anybody's office really. And that's what ties into kind of what I do personally. So we have a lot of clients that come to us or come to me specifically because maybe they've heard my name or come to a discussion panel where they've heard me speak, or they come to a local workshop or event, or they see a Facebook ad and they usually reach out to us. We put out a lot of effort as far as, you know, press and really building a top-notch reputation for myself and for my company. So when people find my company, they don't really see me as the face of it. You know, I try not to be the face of my company. However, we bring on a lot of clients because of my personal brand, which is just, you know, me, myself, and I do a lot of speaking. I wrote a book called Credibility Method, and that book did really well and brought in a lot of clients for us. And so it's a little bit of an effort on both sides of the fence. The way that we get our clients, we get a ton of referrals that, you know, from people that reach out to us, but we also run a lot of ads. We are an advertising agency. So we run ads on Google and Facebook and Instagram and all that fun stuff. But a lot of it is through, you know, my personal reputation, my personal network and stuff like that, you know. So truly 5 times a day, I get phone calls from people saying, hey, you know, we're discussing this idea or this project and we thought of you, or so-and-so hit me up and they're going to be doing Facebook ads. And I told them they had to talk to you. And so we set up a lot of phone calls and consultations that way, really just through my personal network. And then, of course, you know, through Facebook ads, referrals, people finding us online and on Google and things like that.
Dope. Sounds like you're killing it, man. So to the average person who wants to start SMMA or start advertising their business or how to get clients, let's say somebody has no experience and not that much money, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 to spend, what would you recommend they do?
Sure. So first it would be to get the experience, right? That's the short answer. And somebody who's got $1,000 to $2,000 in their pocket, you got to understand that you've got a huge advantage. Actually, when I started in the marketing industry, I had no money. You know, I saw everybody talking about running Facebook ads, but I didn't even have, I damn sure didn't have $1,000 or $2,000. I maybe had at any given time an extra $30 or $40 if I was lucky. You know, I see a lot of these entrepreneurs and, you know, these experts and gurus out there talking about, oh, this one time I had $13 in the bank. And it almost cracks me up because if there's an entrepreneur out there that remembers like the one time that they had $50, it's probably because that only happened to them one time, right? And the thing is, like, my entire life until I was 24 or 25, I never had any money. So there wasn't a specific time where I was down on myself thinking, wow, I only have $20. I always only had $20 or less. I used to scrounge together change to go buy a dollar hot dog at the gas station next to where I lived, where I was paying only $100 a month in rent, and I could barely even afford that. You know, so don't think that money is in your way. Just first off and foremost, to get that out of the way, money is not your issue. The knowledge and the skills is your issue, because when you know what you're doing, money will show up at your front door. That is a fact. So focus on the skills. And when you do that, you will find results and opportunities will come your way, mostly because there are so many people out there faking the funk, pretending that they know what they're talking about. Surely there are marketers in the world that are better than me. the difference in how I've caught up with a lot of them in the past 4 years is because I do this every single day, and every extra dollar that I had, I put into my business, into upgrading my computers, into buying training, into traveling, going to seminars, eventually getting an office space. Then even when I had extra money, investing it into staff before I ever put my own dollars in my pocket, you know, those are some quick pieces of advice. But focus on yourself. Don't focus on social media and looking cool and posting on Instagram every day, because I'll tell you, that's not where the money is made. If you look at my company's Instagram, my company's Facebook page, we're so busy, we don't even have time to run our own social media. We have the opposite problem that most people have. We have too many clients and too many people reaching out. So most people think, well, wow, it'd be nice to have that problem. And yeah, it absolutely would be. But it's all done, and that happens because of the work that I put in the years leading up to building an agency, starting an office, growing a staff and a team, and, you know, landing big, big clients, you know. None of that stuff would have been possible, and it wouldn't be possible now to handle it if I hadn't put in the work ahead of time. And when I say put in the work, do everything that you can to make yourself a priority. You know, take your extra money and invest it into the training. Watch all the videos that you can, and don't get distracted, because there is knowledge in the fine lining in a lot of seminars and books, you know, seminars that you attend and books that you read. You don't need to implement every little thing. You don't need to read the book 10 times. You don't need to go to 100 seminars. You need to go to a handful and actually just implement the things that you've learned. That's the big mistake that people make, is they go and try to learn all this stuff, and then they never actually do any of it. You know, they never put it into action. And there's kind of an inside joke between me and my brother that we talk about, and we call it getting ready to get ready. Almost everybody that we see online talking the talk, they're not walking the walk. They're just getting ready to get ready, man. They just talk about plans and talk about ideas. And, you know, it's exciting. It makes people feel fulfilled when they talk about stuff. They feel some sort of genuine excitement about talking about fun stuff. But the real excitement is in the result when you actually do it. So hopefully that's some good advice to people who are considering not even just starting an agency, but even just being a consultant. That's where I would start. I wouldn't start out with the plan of, I'm going to create this agency. And I think there's a misconception between being a consultant and running an agency. You know, I see a lot of one-man shows running around saying, I run an agency. And the truth of the matter is, no, you don't. You're a consultant. And in hindsight, I think there's a lot of power in being a true consultant and being able to provide advice based on real experience. And when you can do that and you can say, I'm a consultant for small businesses, then you can kind of build that pathway into one day owning and creating an agency. So I wouldn't overwhelm yourself by thinking, I'm creating an agency. Just start out as a one-man show. And I think if you were able to fast forward into the future and look back, a lot of the times you'd think, man, I should have stayed a one-man show. I should have stayed a consultant. It was so fun. My expenses were smaller. Yeah. You know, we spend, I think alone I spend like over $5,000 just on a lease on a building, you know, and that's every month. So you don't have to do that. You can work out of a bedroom. You can work out of a Starbucks or a co-working space. Deciding, you know, making the decision to run an agency is a huge decision. It's a huge commitment. And that's a good example of something that you really can't do with just $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank. However, if you're a one-man show, you can definitely go to Starbucks and hold meetings and go to co-working spots and take people out for coffee, and you can build your own website, and you can do those things for $500 or less. You know, you can do that with $100. So hopefully those are some good pieces of advice for people who are just getting started out and considering this industry.
That's amazing, bro. Definitely going to use that. Getting ready to get ready.
Yeah, man. It's like one of our favorite coin terms. There's so many people out there just getting ready to get ready.
No, that's amazing, man. So you mentioned you barely had any money growing up until like 24 years old. How did you, what was the switch? What really flipped you into, hey, I need a change?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, it was a handful of different things. In a nutshell, I'll break it down pretty simply. All at the same time, I was getting ready to turn 24. I was living in a house that I mentioned. My rent was $100. I lived there for almost 2 years, and I think in total I paid rent 3 times. most people would say, how's that possible? And it was because the people who owned our property owned tons of other properties, including a restaurant and a bar, and they just didn't care. The house was a piece of junk. It was literally falling apart and probably should have been condemned. So it wasn't a priority. So we just kind of crashed there. I had two roommates. I lived there for almost 2 years until one day the bathroom upstairs started to collapse and fall through the ceiling. When that happened, the entire like floor platform filled up with water. And the landlord said, all right, you guys have 30 days to get out of here because we literally have to renovate this entire house. Because if not, it would have been deemed condemned. And if that would have happened, they would have had to shut down their restaurant that was attached to it. So we had to go. You know, they kicked us out. And I had 30 days to get my shit together. And that was really tough for me because I had never been put in that situation. I always had someone or something to lean on. And even though I didn't have money, you know, I grew up and had a great family. And I had parents that, you know, if they had to take care of me, we would figure it out together. You know, we weren't loaded, but we weren't poor. We were just kind of, you know, middle of the road, average family, just like most of the people probably listening to this. When I was really young, I grew up kind of in a really ghetto area in Florida and, you know, had kind of some troubles as a, you know, a young kid there. But my teenager years were pretty normal, you know, a lot like anybody else's as they're going through high school. So when I was told I had to get out of this house, I was like, whoa, dude, this is kind of crazy. This is out of my normal element a little bit. So that happened. At the same time, I was also going through kind of relationship issues with a girl that I had also been dating for almost 2 years. So about the same time that I had lived in that home. And I had found out that she was living an entire second life behind my back. She was engaged and she was pregnant. So that was crazy. Like that was nuts. Like I, you know, like it's funny looking back, but at the time, things were messed up, man. I was a partier. I was always getting like hammered, just being an idiot. You know what I mean? Getting drunk. And even when I did make a little bit of money, I would just waste it. You know, I was hanging out with total idiots, people who, I mean, stupid people, bro. Like it was crazy. So all of that was going on at the same time. And out of nowhere, I was introduced to the concept of network marketing. Right. And so network marketing is, you know, these companies like Amway where you sign up and you pay some money and then you try to sign up your friends and all that. That was a really interesting time for me to be introduced to that for two reasons. Number one, I was never good at keeping a job to begin with, you know, so what everybody else was doing, all my friends, you know, working at, you know, the average restaurant and bar and all of that. I was never good at that. I got fired from every job I ever had. I worked at Carpool. I worked at Walgreens. I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings. I worked at a paintball shop. I worked in restaurants and I would just always get fired. I'd be there for a few months and I'd get fired all the time because I just either wouldn't show up. I was late. I didn't care. I was lazy. I wasn't putting effort into my work. I just hated listening to people, man. It was just so annoying and it wasn't my thing. I always just wanted to do my own thing. And I really think I was just most often I was a little bit too creative and I would try to change the system. And for anybody who owns a real business, if you have staff that tries to change the system, that's a huge issue because you have these standardized processes. And then when people try to change them, it can mess up your whole business. So, you know, I wasn't business minded at all. I didn't go to college. I probably couldn't have gotten into college if I wanted to because my grades sucked in high school. So I didn't understand that. So I would just do my own thing. And usually whoever was my boss at the time didn't like it. And I would keep doing it, not understanding the concept, and I would get fired. Right.
Okay.
So when I was introduced to the concept of network marketing, I was like, huh, this is really interesting. Cause I was a pretty good kind of like slick salesperson, you know, I was good with my words and I did have a lot of what I would have considered friends back then. In hindsight, I don't think any of those people were my friends, but we'll say that I knew a lot of people and I did. So when somebody said to me, hey, you could do this thing, you could determine your own income, you could work from home, you could work from your laptop, you could do whatever you want. I was like, dude, this is pretty interesting. Long story short, I was terrible at it because I quickly found out that nobody really respected me or thought very highly of me because when I brought up an idea to them to make money or start a business, I either got hung up on, not responded, or laughed at. You know, that was kind of the deal, you know? And it's funny because now I wrote a book about how to demand respect and how to be one of the highest paid people in your industry and how to land huge clients and establish yourself in what you do. And that is why I wrote that book is because I had to go through that challenge of people looking at me like an idiot and then fast forwarding 4 years later to working with some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world. And so a lot of people say, well, how did that happen? How do you do that? And that's far too difficult of an answer, question to answer on this podcast. And that's why I wrote a book, so that I could really lay out all my thoughts. So I was introduced to network marketing. And at the same time, on a more positive note, there was network marketing and I met a girl, her name is Brooke. We've been dating for 5 years now. When I first met her, she handed me a book called The Power. And I took that book with me to jail because I had to spend 4 weekends in jail for driving on a suspended license at that same time. And this is all within just a few months of each other, all these things happening. And wow. So when you asked me the question, what made the switch? It was all of these things.
Got it.
But when I had to sit in this community pod, and again, it was for driving on a suspended license. You know, I didn't have money to get my license back. So I just kept driving. You know, I figured what was the worst that could happen? And the worst that happened was I ended up going to jail. So that obviously put a kink in things, only worsened my financial situation. But in a sense, it changed the entire trajectory of my life. And I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have that time to just sit there and think clearly without drinking and without the distraction of my friends. I was just stuck in this place that I didn't want to be in. And all I had was this book. So I read it. And that was a big part of what changed the way that I thought about success and understanding that I could do and be whatever I wanted to. I really discovered that everything that I had ever learned in my whole life was completely ridiculous, totally ludicrous, made no sense. And that at the end of the day, I could decide to do whatever I wanted to do. There were no constraints on my life. And if I wanted to be successful, I was going to do that. And it took a long time to put that into action. But that was when I discovered that idea. And so when I got out of jail, I took network marketing serious. I actually moved in with Brooke and she had 2 roommates also. So I was crammed into this place. But from that point forward, I hustled every single day and continue to do that. And what hustling means is just focusing on what's important. I tried to learn and increase my capacity for understanding marketing because I really liked it. I really liked sales. I knew that I was good at speaking. I knew that I had the potential to do something bigger than what I was doing. And so I cut out my friends. I tried to get healthier. I cut out drinking and just focused on this network marketing thing. And I did that for like 8 months and I was still never very good at it. But what network marketing introduced me to was more of like internet and digital marketing. And that's what changed everything for me was when I could take my love for sales and marketing and apply it to the tools that I already used every day, which is Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube. I already liked these things. So The more I could learn about them, the more I could take action on that stuff. And that's where my journey really began was at 24 with my back against the wall. I had a Boost mobile cell phone. I had no money and I had a laptop that my grandma let me borrow. And when you would unplug it from the wall, it would just immediately die. So I couldn't be anywhere where it wasn't plugged in. Like I couldn't even move from one location to the next. And that was where it all started for me.
That's amazing, man. That's like the most humbling story I've ever heard.
Thank you, bro.
To be honest. Damn, that's a lot to process.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. And you'll be at NetCon, so I'll touch on some of the stuff there too. And, you know, we'll dive in.
Hell yeah. Damn, that's amazing, man. So, I've heard a lot of those like stories on like YouTube and stuff, but actually hearing it, like somebody telling me that straight up, like this happened to me, it was pretty insane. So yeah, your back was against the wall. You had no choice. So it was kind of the worst and best thing that ever happened to you.
Definitely.
At the same time. So
there's a lot that happened kind of, you know, in between the lines there. You know, I was a bartender. I was staying up all night, you know, trying to fix my habits. And I was used to sleeping. I'm not even joking, bro, till 3, 4, 5 PM sometimes, because I was up until 3 or 4 AM on some nights as a bartender. And being a bartender was like one of the only decent jobs I was able to keep, mainly because I was able to do what I already liked doing, which was kind of party and drink and try to talk with girls and just be kind of an idiot. And somehow I could get paid for doing that by making drinks for people. And so, you know, that was what gave me the little bit of money that I did have. But that phone, you know, I'm not even kidding. I had a Boost Mobile like slider phone. I remember the day I went to go pick it up. It was because Boost Mobile was giving away free phones when you like made a commitment to their $35 monthly plan. And so I did that. I got a phone and, you know, that was really where I started, like just trying to get a better understanding of how can I sell products? You know, how can I sell something and make a commission online? And again, that is my one advantage, is that I will confidently say that I've always been decent at talking and presenting and what most people would call selling. Okay. If I look back and I judge my own skills in selling when I was 24, I would say that it was terrible, but I was definitely way better than your average person. You know, I thought I knew how to make sales, and, you know, and I would do that. I worked at Journeys, like the shoe store, and I would make commissions on trying to sell shoes. And I worked at a mall kiosk selling Wi-Fi hotspots, you know, when I was in my early, like 21 or something, you know, so I was always decent at like trying to close deals and make sales, you know, even getting in crappy situations with my family and my parents, like somehow I'd bullshit my way out of it. You know, once I put a more positive spin on the skills that I already had, obviously things started to go in a much better direction. I started to make more money and really created a career, but I sold everything, man. I started in network marketing, trying to sell energy drinks. Then I moved to selling like online rebates. And that was where I started to understand the opportunity for affiliate marketing and what that was, you know, selling somebody else's product and making a commission online. So then I started, you know, I would be like, oh man, I could create a blog, I could create YouTube videos. And if this stuff leads into product sales for other people and I could get a piece of that, that could be cool. So that's what I did. And then that kind of transitioned into selling more like high ticket products. So I started selling water filters that ranged anywhere from $2,000 to about $8,000 a piece. And that was where I learned a lot of my skills, because that's a hard thing to do. Selling somebody a water filter that costs $6,000 is not easy. But the better I got at it, the more money I made, the better my skills got. And then I was able to apply those skills to other things. So then I transitioned over to like webinar marketing and learning how to run Facebook ads and get people to sign up for webinars. Me and my buddy Adam Wenig created a webinar that is now in the Two Comma Club with ClickFunnels. And wow. You know, that funnel's made over $1 million. And then took those concepts and transitioned over into being a full-time consultant. Started to land gigs with real estate agents, different companies, lawn care companies, you know, other entrepreneurs, building out courses, building websites, all that stuff. And then eventually there was just so much demand for people to work with me that it grew into an agency. And we've been going strong for about 3 years now. And then on the side, you know, wrote my book and speak on stage and, you know, do all that fun stuff as well, just for my personal brand. And the great thing is they complement each other, you know, they complement each other, but it all goes back to really getting a good understanding of sales and having a good understanding of how to actually execute marketing. And then over time, the overlying skill that you start to learn is how to really run a business, you know, how to handle the stuff that most people would learn in college, you know, payroll and taxes and all the stuff that's just honestly extremely annoying, but but you have to know how to do it. And so that kind of came later, you know, learning how to sell and make money came first, but all the actual business skills that you need to run a real company, like an agency, it comes later. You know, the only reason most people would know that is if maybe they went to school for business or something, but I didn't, you know, I never did that.
Huh. So yeah. You're backed against the wall. You figured out marketing. You did every type of job there could be. You figured out your skill. And then it was like stepping stones. You started off selling energy drinks, then moving on to more high ticket, and now you own an agency. That's amazing. So that was, and like you said, the personal brand and your agency, they go together. So I have a lot of friends that do really well with whatever they do, whatever business, but they don't have a personal brand. There's a lot of low-key people out there. And I keep telling them, like, make a personal brand. Like, it'll only help you. And they're like, nah, I'm not sure if it's for me. What would you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So think about it like this. I know a lot of young people, and some of the people will see at this upcoming event, and a lot of the people that I've spoken to at previous events, everybody's into Shopify and growing like an e-commerce store and, you know, trying to find financial freedom and success that way, which I think is an excellent idea. And it's a great way to earn an income and, you know, work, you know, a fairly small amount of hours, and it's a great idea. But here's the thing. Let's say you're selling a product that's only trending for the next 4 or 5 years. Let's say the store fails in 4 years. Well, what other asset do you have left? You know, if you haven't been working on anything else and that store eventually fails, you got nothing. So think about it in a positive manner. Let's say you build this store up over the next 4 or 5 years and say it does millions and millions of dollars, and then you sell it. Let's say you sell the business, you sell the store to somebody and you cash out, you make 10, 20 million bucks. Well, now what? Because you still don't have anything. You know, you sold your store and maybe everybody knows that brand, but you hand it off to somebody else. So now what? You've got money, which is great, but you would have to start at day one as far as starting to build something new. If that's a new project, right? And of course, take that with a grain of salt, because most of the time, if you're becoming successful and you're starting to make more money, you do kind of have little things on the side that will just pay you cash. You know, whether you're investing in another company, investing in, you know, trading or, you know, whatever, there's plenty of investments that you can make and other things that you can do on the side to earn extra income on top of your main project. But to drive my point home, you need to be building a personal brand. And the internet's not going anywhere. And that's something to understand, is that if the internet's not going anywhere, don't think about today, think about 20 years from now. Who do you want to be? Where do you want to be? And what would you like to accomplish? And when you imagine those things, think about how many people might know you and how many people might search for you. The thing is, when people Google my name, they know exactly who I am and exactly what I do. Whereas people Google whoever's name, they're not going to have clarity or have a good understanding of who that person is or what they do. Your number one priority in really just being an entrepreneur in general should be to control the first impression that people get when they discover you. And that's it. And if you can control that first impression, you can be as successful as you want. And when these assets speak for you, such as your website, such as your Google results, such as your Instagram account, such as your advertisements or your YouTube channel, when those assets speak for you, because that is the 24-hour salesperson that works on your behalf every hour of every day, your website does not go down, but you go to sleep every night. So you cannot be working when you're sleeping, but your website can. So if you're not focused on a personal brand and you're the person who doesn't think having a personal website or some sort of personal aura that comes along with you and your name, if you don't think that's important, then you're not meant to be an entrepreneur, because you're not thinking about things the right way. It's not about now. It's not about your one store or your one company. If you are truly focused on being successful, you want to control the first impression of everything that has anything to do with you. Because when you do get that meeting that you've been hoping and wishing and praying for, that person on the other side of that table is going to look you up. And if you can control what happens when people do that, that is the magic key that will unlock everything that you want. Big clients, big sales, big commissions, big opportunities. It's all sitting there waiting for you, but you need to have some sort of reputation that comes along with your name and not just your company. So that's what I would say to those people.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. That sounds awesome. Yeah, because a lot of people have these great Shopify stories. I tell them, like, you're not going to regret starting a personal brand. You're going to regret not starting one. Like, yeah. When you're already in there, you're going to be like, oh, I'm so happy I did this. But yeah, looking back on your life, would you do anything differently? Or would that would speed things up or get you faster to your goals or anything like that?
Yeah, I definitely would. I had a couple like really bad habits that I wish I would have eliminated faster, but it was really hard. You know, it was really hard, man. I used to have a big problem with lying. Like, I would lie about shit. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not even really sure why. I think it boils down to really just being unhappy. You know, I wasn't, and I didn't really recognize that I was unhappy, right? Because it's easy to kind of like disguise and hide your unhappiness, right? And I'm not saying like depression, like I wasn't depressed or anything like that. Like, I think I was just not satisfied. And what you can do to kind of disguise and hide those things is what I was doing, is like getting drunk and going out and chasing girls, because things like drinking and sex and even work and just partying, all those things can be like treated as drugs, right? They're kind of just like suppressives. Like, you can kind of hide emotions and stuff by thinking that those things are important. And so I think I would lie because in my head, I knew better and I knew that I should have been doing something at a higher level. I knew that I had potential to be successful and be smarter and be a better person, be better looking, be more charismatic, have better friends and better people, and just live up to my potential. But I think I lied about that stuff because deep down I knew that I was putting zero effort towards accomplishing those things. So I would lie about things. I would literally lie and say that I went to college because I think that I looked outwards and thought that that was what people wanted to hear. And the reality is, it doesn't matter what people want to hear. Because the thing is, when you determine where you're going, nobody's waiting to hear from you. They're following you because you're leading them. You're a leader. So when you lie, you're admitting that you're not leading anybody. You're just making shit up. And that's what I used to do. And going back, I wish that I could have broken that habit faster. Huh. And I don't say that I wish I would have. I say I wish that I could have, because I did put an effort and I was aware of it. And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, it really, really is. And I think maybe it sounds negative, but I think most people lie. And it doesn't mean that they're lying about important stuff. I just think that society and the media tricks us into making shit up. You know, it really does. And it makes people think that they need to be somebody that they're not. And I definitely fell into that trap. And, you know, and I get it. Like, it's, you know, it's cool to look like you have this gangster lifestyle on social media and Instagram and all of that. But what it comes down to is you can be the person that pretends to do that. Or what I choose to do is sit in my office 10 hours a day and actually make the money that it takes to live that lifestyle when you want to. And then when the time comes and I'm out of town or I'm on vacation, I can do whatever I want to do. You know, literally anything, money is no option. Whereas other people, they would choose to spend their money to look like they've got it when they don't got it and they don't put in the work. So that's another form of lying. People just lie. You know, they just make shit up to look cool on social media. And I wish I would have broken that habit sooner and recognized that faster. You know, people can scroll through my Instagram, man. Like, I don't delete stuff because I choose not to hide anything. I'm just out there, dude. You know, I do what I can to be honest and authentic and transparent. And if people scroll back, like, they can kind of see my transformation and my journey to where I was kind of seeing what I thought was important. So I'd be like posting on Instagram like every couple of days. And what I found is that I could post on Instagram once a month and still get the same results, you know? And I'm not talking about likes. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about when I look at my level of happiness and the dollars in the bank, they didn't change. Posting on Instagram every day didn't change anything, man. You know, if anything, it gave me more time and helped me focus on the things that are more important that actually do make you more money, such as being healthier, such as being honest, such as talking more in person with people rather than on the internet. So yeah, man, long story short, and to you know, really answer the question, man, I wish I would have just found like my authentic self and just been more honest sooner and stopped lying about stuff and lying to myself.
Absolutely, bro. It's definitely like a problem in society. I see it all the time, like at events and at fucking just on Instagram and stuff. So yeah, I know you didn't go to college, and this is more for a lot of people, because a lot of people, just not entrepreneurs, because we already understand this, but regular society, how are you going to consult somebody? And how do people take you seriously when you don't have a degree? And does that come as a problem for you? And trust me, I know the answer to this, but for the people that don't.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a great question. And it's a question that a lot of people have. And even though I didn't get, you know, to college or go to college, I do have a good perspective on that. Reason being, because people apply to work here and we have an internship program. So I deal with college students all the time. We're partnered with the local universities here. You know, we go to a lot of their events. My friends are board members on the libraries at the universities. You know, so we're involved with colleges. Just because I didn't go, doesn't mean that I'm not a fan of it. So
yeah,
here's the answer to that question is, the answer is no, it doesn't affect you in landing clients. And here's the thing. Most people that ask these questions, they're things that don't exist. Those are problems that really, truly are not even a real thing. So if you're somebody who's listening to this and you're thinking like, oh man, I'm concerned that when I go down the store, you know, go down the street to talk to this retail store and tell them that I could help them with their Instagram account or help them with their email campaigns, they're going to ask me, what's my resume? What's my degree? Here's the thing. somebody may ask you to fill out an application and give you a resume. That does not mean that if you didn't go to college, you're not going to get the job. Our salespeople, we used to have a sales guy here, and he would actually ask me questions very similar to that one. And he would say, well, you know, what do I do if they ask me if I know what I'm doing? And I would say, well, did somebody ask you that? And they would say, no. And I said, okay, then what the hell are you talking about? So what do I do if somebody asked me that? And I would say, well, stop worrying about what if and just go do what needs to be done. And I would promise them that they will not ask you that question. And sure enough, nobody ever asked the question. So half of these things that people make up in their head, they just make them up as a fake barrier so that they don't have to go do the hard thing. And the hard thing might be telling somebody, hey, I don't have a college degree. The hard thing might be telling somebody, you know, hey, I really don't have a lot of experience with this. But here's the funny thing. If you tell somebody that, they are more likely to hire you.
Really?
Here's why. Because you're being honest. And here's the thing. Imagine this right now. If I walked up to, let's use a real estate brokerage as an example, right? A brokerage is basically an office building that houses several different real estate agents that work for that brokerage. Let's say I walked in and I went up to the lady at the front desk and I said, hey, my name is Mike. I don't have my real estate license. I also don't have a college degree, but I wanted to inquire about working here because I truly see that I have a future in real estate. I want to be here. I want to learn. And I would love to, at the very least, shadow you guys for a couple weeks. And I can help out with random things around the office. And if you guys like me being here for a couple weeks, I would like to fill out a formal application and see if you'd be interested in employing me here. Right? So imagine if somebody did that. And again, keep in mind, I told you guys earlier, like I'm dangerous when it comes to speaking. I can come up with stuff quickly. And not everybody has that skill, right? You can get better at that. And you can build it up as a skill. But I'm fortunate, man. I do have a talent to think of stuff on the spot. So that's an example. I find enjoyment in role-playing and building scenarios like that. But here's the thing. Do you think that person would maybe at least give me a shot?
Yeah.
Probably. And I've already kind of tackled that objective head on by telling them first, I'm not a licensed real estate agent and I do not have a college degree. So I brought it up first. They don't even need to ask. So most people are focused on themselves. So what questions do they have left to ask? You know, hey, how old are you? How often could you be here? Do you have a license? Do you have any experience? Could you just send us a resume? They already know you didn't go to college. They already know that you're not a licensed real estate agent. All they know is that you're charismatic and that you're interested in real estate and you want to help out. You even offered to do it for free for a couple weeks. How would they say no? I mean, literally, how would they say no? They wouldn't. They would say yes. And that's my perspective. And hopefully that answers that question. If you're coming up with barriers in your head, they're most likely not even real. You know, thinking that somebody's going to put you down because you don't have a college degree or because you don't have an arm or because you're missing an eye or because you're short or because you don't have experience or you've never ran campaigns for a business before. It's all just made up. There are thousands of people with all those same problems doing what you said you were going to do. The only difference is you're not doing it. They're all just made up problems. And a lot of times we find ourselves asking for like acceptance almost. You just want somebody to tell you, hey, dude, that's cool. You know, and that's why people ask that question. They say, hey, what if this? What if that? They just want somebody to tell them, dude, it's okay. And that's what they want. But just stop worrying about if it's okay. Just know that people don't ask you all these weird ass questions that people make up in their head. No one's going to do that. Just go in there and say what you think, say what you feel, and you'll usually get the result that you want. And I've used that to my advantage in my business, in my consulting, and to land clients. When you're honest with people, it's always going to do more than worrying about like, how do I answer this question? If you're wondering, how do I answer this question if it comes up? If that's a concern of yours, answer it before they have the chance to ask it. And you'll be one step ahead. So that would be my best recommendation on how to chat, you know, how to tackle questions that maybe aren't very comfortable.
Huh. Absolutely. Feel you. Yeah, because I've gotten that question like myself, not from an actual business owner, but from a friend. Cause I landed like one client like back in before my drop shipping days, and I was just trying out SMMA, and then somebody was like, wait, they hired you and like you're 17? Like what? I'm like, yeah, I'm 17. I use social media every day.
I'm the most qualified to do this.
Yeah.
I just like use it to my advantage. So, oh, you're so young? Yeah, I'm so young. Would you hire a 50-year-old to do your social media or something like that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there is a, and I'll be, you know, I'll be 30 this year, man. So I've got a few years on you, but I'll be honest. There is a level of social media understanding that guys and girls your age understand that we do not, you know, and I'll tell you what, man, I'm regarded as an expert on this stuff and I will give it up to a lot of the younger people out there. When I see the way that a lot of younger people work and function on social media, it's impressive. And again, I would use that. And I would absolutely say, damn right, I'm 17. And you could almost say verbatim what I just said and say, look, miss, I hope that you understand that there is a level of social media that people between the ages of 17 to 20 understand that nobody in your office does. And so I would be your best asset if you're looking to grow your social media. Period. That's it. You know? And it's like, no, I haven't gone to college because I'm not old enough to, you know, or I'm not done with high school. So no, I haven't, but I know that I'm the right person for this particular job. And that's why I'm here, you know? And that's it, man. And it all comes, you know, you got to have a massive, massive level of confidence to, you know, approach people like that. You know, especially walking into a real estate brokerage or, you know, most business owners, anybody successful, it's tough to speak to people like that a little bit. But if you can do it the right way and you can do it tastefully and also in a humble way, and in a calibrated way, that's probably the best way to explain it, is in a calibrated way and ask the right questions and also share the right information, you'll land that job no matter what, man. And they don't ask any of those crazy weird questions because they're just focused on the first impression that you made. And in most cases they would like that one, you know?
Yeah. What would you say? I live in a pretty like, I wouldn't say old, but kind of traditional minded neighborhood. And I have, and this is before I knew kind of what I was doing. I didn't really know. I was just cold walking into businesses and just like, hey, you guys like use social media or something? They'd be like, social media, that like, what is that going to do? So what would you say to, I don't know, I'm just asking for advice. When you started out, did you cold walk into businesses and ask to like help out their digital footprint?
Yeah, so there's a chapter in my book actually called The McDonald's Rule, and it touches on this subject. You'll have to shoot me your address and I'll send you a copy. But okay. In that chapter, it basically starts off by asking the question, would you... Like what, basically the question is, why would you never want to work at McDonald's? That's basically the question. And it doesn't have to be McDonald's. It could be any fast food restaurant, right? Like, why do most people not want to work at those types of restaurants? And I asked this question during my speeches. So if you've seen me talk, you're probably familiar with this question. You already know the answer. But I get a lot of great answers and they're usually all correct, but they're never the answer that I'm looking for. And people will say, oh, you know, because it's terrible hours, it's terrible wages, or, you know, I don't want to work for an establishment like X, right? Whatever the fast food restaurant is, or I don't want to serve people crappy food, or it's dirty, or it's disgusting, or they don't pay enough, or I don't want to wear this stupid uniform. I don't want to answer some idiot manager, right? Like, there's all kinds of answers that are probably considered correct. But the main answer I'm always looking for is because anybody can do it. Just about anybody can work at McDonald's. I would bet money right now today that I could go outside, find the, you know, the nearest struggling person that might be homeless on the street, and I could speak with them. I could help clean them up a little bit. I could help prepare them. I could send them right into McDonald's and they'd have a pretty good shot at getting a job. You know, if I helped them and kind of guided them into it, they could probably get a job, right? So if a homeless person get a job at McDonald's, and there are plenty, I mean, go on Google and type in homeless guy gets hired at McDonald's. There's plenty of videos and that's a real thing that has happened. So if that can happen, the question is, are you treating your business like a McDonald's? And if you're just walking into every business, you are, you really are. And here's the problem. Most people, when they think about doing business, so like, let's hit pause on that. And now let's pretend that we are a successful attorney. Let's say we went to college for 4 years. Let's say we went and landed a job at, you know, a successful practice here in the city. And we're also happen to be a young person on the firm and we're in charge of kind of the social media stuff and finding the right person. And then someone walks into our office and just says, hey, do you guys do social media stuff? He's going to say, no, we don't. Get out. Right? Or something along those lines. The reason being is because most people have the expectation of wanting to do business with somebody who, in a sense, doesn't come to them. They want it to be their idea. They set standards for themselves much higher than a McDonald's, right? They set higher standards. So they want to be able to think like, man, we're doing business with a badass. We're doing business with, you know, people that not just everybody gets to do business with. Mm-hmm. So something as simple as an application would be perfect. And then you can walk around and say, hey, you know, this is my name. This is who I am. This is my consulting company. And over the past month, I've been doing a local study on over 100 different small businesses in this area. And I'm going around to some of the bigger businesses like you guys. And I'm actually giving the report away for free to a handful of them. And it's going to talk about the 5 commonalities that make small businesses or even medium businesses successful in this city. Would you guys be interested in reading it? And maybe they say yes, maybe they say no. And that's just one idea. You could even do, you know, hey, here are the top 10 most successful Facebook ads I've ran for businesses in this city, right? And if you're not that far along yet, then you got to come up with another idea. But what you could do is you could easily send an email with 5 questions to 100 different businesses that are already successful in your city. Out of those 100, 25 of them will maybe give you an answer on, you know, what's important to them, what channels are they advertising on, what have they found success in, you know, what, you know, whatever, what are they excited about when it comes to the future of your town or your city? And then they give you those responses in an email. You can put that all together and make a 25-page report, then go out to medium and bigger businesses and say, hey, you know, over the past month, I've worked on putting together a report taken from 25 local businesses about what they're currently doing that's working, what they're excited about in our city. And I'm giving it away to free businesses. I'm giving it away for free to businesses just like you. All you've got to do is fill out this application here, right? Then they fill out the application. You could ask them name, best contact address, physical mailing address, phone number, who's in charge of their marketing, how many employees do they have, what's their annual revenue, and are they looking to increase their marketing efforts in the next 6 months or 90 days, right? And then they fill that out because they want the report. Well, really, they just applied to be part of your operation. Now you have that information. You get X amount of businesses to fill out that thing. You send them the free report. Now you've built a little bit of rapport with them. You've built a relationship with them a little bit, right? But then you can call them a week later and say, hey, Susie, this is so-and-so. I'm just following up with you. I wanted to see if you guys actually checked out that report. And I'm also just following up to see what did you like the most about it? And boom, then they can say, oh, yeah, we checked it out, or no, we didn't check it out yet, or whatever. And a lot of the times, they're not going to answer the phone. So you got to follow up. That's where the key is. You got to follow up with an email, follow up with a voicemail, follow up with a phone call, follow up with a message to their Facebook page. Keep that conversation rolling because they're going to find value in that report. And now they know who you are and you've started a conversation and they don't feel like you came to them trying to sell something. They feel like now they've got a conversation rolling about marketing and you've got a good opportunity to just kind of bring up what I would call calibrated questions to ask them about, you know, yeah, so I know at the end of the application, I asked you if you were interested in putting a bigger effort on your marketing in the next 90 days. Is that something that you'd want to discuss today while we're on the phone? Or is that something that you'd want to set up a separate meeting and I can come in and talk to you guys about what we do or what I do with my consulting company? So that's a good, simple way to get in the door. I did that type of stuff for a long time. I sent out direct mail packages and things like that. And then once we got our revenue up, we were able to start advertising and things like that. So the key is you want to be the hunted, not the hunter. And when you're just talking to anybody and messaging people on LinkedIn and annoying people and walking into their businesses, you're treating it like it's a McDonald's. You're treating your business like literally just anybody in the world you would work with. And when you do that, it looks desperate. We tell just as many clients no as we tell yes, right? Wow. What we do is when we sit down with a business and we do an audit with them and look at their stuff, you know, we base our first impression plus the quality of the results. We look at things like their websites, their past advertising, their budget. And if it doesn't make sense for us, we tell them, hey, sorry, this isn't a good fit. We've literally have clients that we've fired And I've literally sent messages that say, hey bud, you know, I appreciate all your effort and, you know, thanks for, you know, thanks for working with us, but we're going to have to let you go because they, you know, because they're either annoying, they're rude, they're, you know, they're bothering us all the freaking time. I say, hey, look, I don't think this is a good fit. Unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. Right. And it's like kind of funny and you can definitely get blowback from that. You don't want people to leave you bad reviews and stuff like that if you're public on the internet, but we have had to do that. We've told clients no. We've had to literally fire clients to get rid of them. And these are clients that pay big money, man. Sometimes $2,000-$4,000 a month. And we say, hey, see you later because I don't have time for that. And that is how I position and establish myself the right way. And it's why people respect me. It's why when I call someone, they answer the phone. It's why some of the biggest names hired me to run all of their ads for their events and sell tickets for their speaking events and stuff, how I get invited to speak at a lot of the events. So, you know, that's a lot of information, but the key lesson is don't treat yourself or your business like you're a McDonald's drive-thru, period. And you'll probably recognize if you are doing that because people don't respect you. They don't answer your calls. They don't message you back because they feel like you are acting as if just anybody in the world can work with you. And people don't like that, man. They want to work with badasses. They want to work with people that are exclusive. You know, they want to work with, when they watch movies and they see, you know, they see the cool lawyer, they see the cool consultant that's super badass with the fly suit that not everybody can work with. Like that's what they picture in their head. They want that. They want to be the hero and they want you to be the guide. And when you position yourself as like, oh, anybody can do it, they feel like, oh, this guy is trying to be the hero. This guy's trying to come in and save us. They don't want that, man. They want to be the hero. They want you to be the guide and the mentor. And you have to position yourself that way. And the first step is by not treating yourself like you're a McDonald's drive-thru.
Dude, that's amazing. Yeah, I've never, I have thought about it like the psychology of things. When people go to, when people come up with their own idea, they're like, or yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know how I just positioned that, but like people like that. Like if you, if I say to you, hey, I have this idea, you're like, oh, okay. But if I make you think that you came up with that idea, if I'm like hinting at it and then you're like, oh, we should do this, you're going to be way more inclined to do it.
Right? Exactly. Well, and especially being a consultant and just being in sales period, you know, it's not about talking about what you do. And that's the biggest mistake that people make is they talk about, I do this, I can offer this, I can help you with that. Right. Instead, you want to phrase everything that you do in a question. And that is how you will make the most sales is ask questions. And if you ever run out of questions to ask, say, and what else? Right. So, and say, and what else until they're literally can't come up with anything else. And I guarantee you that you'll have all the answers that you need that you were looking for to sell them on your service. Right. So to give you a real life example, you know, if I were talking to, we'll just keep rolling with real estate because we gave that example. You know, if I'm talking to Susie and I say, well, look, Susie, you know, what are some of your goals that you can think of over the next 12 months? And what are some of the things that you feel have been sticking in the back of your head that you know you need to do with your marketing, but you haven't done yet? And then I just shut up and they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. And then they slow down and they kind of stop saying anything. And then I say, okay, great, great. I understand. And what else? And they'll come up with something and they'll keep talking about all their issues. And when they do that, they've just laid out the holy grail for you. They've just told you their biggest pain points and the things that are most pressuring in the back of their mind. And when you have those things, you have everything that you need. And you need to do that by asking calibrated questions rather than talking about you and what you do. I think people would be mind blown at how little we talk about what we do and how many huge clients we land. And it's all because we just ask questions. And people like to talk about their problems. People like to tell you what they're trying to accomplish. They find much more enjoyment and fulfillment in telling you about their business and their goals and their issues and their problems and what they want to accomplish rather than hearing you talk about Facebook ads and SEO. They don't care about that. A business owner just says they want to know the first impression that you give them, which means that they have to like you. And if they like you and they're able to talk to you and they feel that you've listened, they will hire you, period.
For sure. Show you. Yeah, like Jordan Belfort's straight line system.
100%, man. I've been through that like a million times. Maybe not a million, but probably 20.
Yeah, you literally referenced that.
Yeah.
You. They like your idea. It's to go. Yeah, you're right. And I'm like thinking about it. When I talk to someone, are they asking me questions about my life? Or are they more telling, hey, so I went here over the weekend. I came back from a trip from Florida or something like that. More, they talk about themselves. They don't really, everybody says, how are you doing? But nobody really cares.
Right.
They just want you to ask that same question back so they can tell you what they did this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree, man.
Yeah, man. Sales applies to everything.
Yeah. You know, I learned this from my buddy, Sean Whalen. The guy's probably got like, I don't know, man, 200, 300, 500 million views on his Facebook videos. He's a big name speaker, and we run all the advertisements for his speaking tour. Mm. And when I first met him, the very first thing he ever asked me, he didn't say, hey, how's it going? Hey, what's up? He didn't say any of that. He said, hey, what's up, man? What is the best thing? What did he say? He said, what are you the best at? Or what are you the best? I forget how he phrased it, but basically he asked me like, what are you the absolute best at? You know, and that was his question to me. And I was like, damn, I never really get asked that. You know, like when you just hit it right on the head, you know, you ask somebody, when he asked that question, what he's doing is he's touching on usually what's most important to somebody, because something that you're really the best at is probably something that you really, really care about, you know? So who knows what that answer could be for somebody. It could be like, man, I'm the best. Like, what am I the absolute best at? As far as my skill set, I'm great at playing Call of Duty, or I'm great at basketball, or I'm great, you know, it might not even have anything to do with your work type of stuff. So you're really getting somebody to open up and talk about the things that they care about. And ever since he did that, and then I talked to him about it afterwards, it always stuck with me, because I thought that was really cool. And I thought it was such a great way to start a conversation and get to know somebody, rather than saying, hey, what's up? Or, you know, how are you? How you doing? You know, something like that. I always thought that was like really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely, I've never been asked that for sure. What are you the best at? That's like, whoa, never been really asked that. How should I answer this? It really gets you thinking. And what if the person, like, you ask that and the person like freeze up? He's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
What does that tell you about the person?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, man, what are you excited for in your company in the next coming month?
Man, a lot. So this week has been going really well, and this year has been amazing so far. In the grand scheme of things, we're just getting started, man. We're 81 days into the year of 2019, and things are rolling quick. Yeah, so unfortunately, I can't like share what we're working on exactly, but one of the biggest entrepreneurs that you guys know, really that anybody knows, the guy's got over 1 million subscribers on YouTube. He's throwing a huge conference in May in Dallas, and so we're running all the ads for that, and that'll be awesome. It's a 4-day conference out in Dallas. Maybe when we hang up here, I'll tell you about it. But so that's really exciting, and I'm sure people can do some Googling and find it. So that'll be awesome, man. And we're really excited for that. Really excited to grow and expand our company, maybe into a new facility or new building later this year, get a much bigger building to operate out of, considering buying a house and doing all kinds of stuff, man. A lot of traveling and a lot more speaking this year. You know, last August I spoke with Grant Cardone down in Miami. So that was really cool. And you know, things have been rolling fast, man. I just partnered with Fiverr, if you guys are familiar with Fiverr. Wow. So I'm doing a big event with them, talking about a lot of the same stuff that we're talking about today on this call, you know, digital marketing and working with small businesses and stuff like that. So that's exciting. Those are some of the things that are coming up, you know. I just launched my mentorship and training program. It's called Underground Marketing Hacks. And, you know, I teach, you know, young entrepreneurs, old entrepreneurs, whoever, really, people that are trying to learn about a lot of the skills that I've gained over the past, you know, 5 years or so, whether it's Facebook ads, whether it's fixing my credit. You know, I shared with you that my financials were totally destroyed when I was young. You know, I had like a 400 credit score, man, when I was like, you know, 25 and didn't know what to do, you know, and got it up to almost 800. You know, so learning how to fix those things is part of the skill set that I had to figure out. It's not always just marketing and advertising. You know, you really got to figure out how to craft yourself and how to shape yourself into you know, a successful person that can lead others and be a good example and, you know, provide value and try to leave something behind when you die, man, you know, and not like teaching people how to fix their credit is some sort of legacy maker, but you know, that was my start. And so basically it's the program's $37 a month and they get access to all the trainings, you know, all existing trainings and future trainings. And it's just simple, man. It wasn't something for me to try and make a boatload of money on. It was just something simple that, you know, when people ask me questions, it's easy to tell them, hey, you know, I'm not going to charge you 10 grand for some training. Like it's $37 a month and I'll teach you whatever. I've put it all into small digestible courses. I think there's 11 of them so far, covering anything from e-commerce to Facebook advertising to, you know, having a positive mindset, to fixing your credit, to traveling the world for free. And these are all things I've actually done. You know, it's not stuff I've made up. Like, you know, pretty much anywhere I go, like I fly for free, I get rental cars for free, just from understanding money and how to use the banks and how to use credit. And you can use that stuff for business and all that, man. So I'm really excited about that because I'm going to be pushing that really hard this year. So that's exciting too.
Dope. So yeah, man, where could people find you at?
So you can pretty much just Google me and you'll find all my stuff. Just search my name, Mike Metzger, and everything's there. But specifically for like all my resources, you can just go to mikemetzger.com and that's pretty much got, you know, everything that I have to offer, whether it's my book, whether it's my training program. And actually right now, if you use, what is the code? I think it's early bird. Yeah. Early bird. And you can use that for undergroundmarketinghacks.com and that'll give you half off your first month. And, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's where people can find me. I've got a bunch of different websites, but mikemetzger.com will lead you to all the other good stuff.
Awesome. So yeah, man, any other tips, anything else you would like to leave for the people?
Yes and no, because here's the thing, right? Here's what we talked about is taking action with the little bit that you have, you know, and I believe a lot in taking action on a little bit of information rather than taking inaction on a lot of information. So my last tip is to not give you a tip. You know, it's just to tell you, we've talked about some great stuff on this episode and on this podcast. So go back, rewind it, listen to it, and take action on the things that we've already talked about. That's going to be the best way to get results. That's going to be the best way to, you know, take value and actually make something out of the half hour or so that you spent listening to this. That's my, you know, that's my tip slash non-tip. And that's what I would do is take action.
That's a new one. Never heard that before. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Great. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. You could definitely start a business from nothing, from social media marketing, from this podcast right now. I know I can, from the information given. So yeah, guys, hopefully you guys enjoy it, and I'll see you guys on the next one.